had a meeting over there at Brother Paul Deal's, and the church was going to go over there for that Monday night meeting. And he come up to me, and he said, "We're going to try to do December." He said, "What's your calendar look like?" And I pulled it up, and I said, "Well," I said, "we'll be in Indiana that Sunday." I said, "But if we drive home Sunday night, we probably, you know, can make something happen and be there on Monday." And so we was in Indiana yesterday, and we left Indiana last night almost about 9 o'clock, about 8:30, 8:45, and drove throughout the night and stopped a little bit at a rest stop and closed our eyes for a minute, get some rest. And we pulled up at the house this morning at 7 o'clock. And so we got a little bit of rest today, but I'm running on fumes right now. But Holy Ghost fumes getting ready to take over here in a minute, I do believe, and that's going to be all right. Brother Max, he asked me, he said, "You do whatever the Lord wants you to do." He said, "But we would like to hear your testimony. We'd like to hear how God saved you, how God called you to preach and stuff like that." And as I began to think about that and what he had said, the Lord just kind of kept putting that in my heart. And I believe tonight what the Lord's got me here to do is to tell you my entire story from the beginning to the end, and how God got me to where I am today, and how God, even before I was born, how the Lord in His providence and His mercy and in His grace led up to where I am now. And I'm telling you, it'll blow your socks and your shoes off and your shoelaces off if you really start thinking about where you was, where you could have been if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of God. I ain't just talking about in your life. Go back to your mom and your daddy and your grandparents and go on down the line a little bit and figure out those who prayed for you and kind of figure out those that were in your corner, and you'll see how God and His providence put it all together. And if you say, "Well, I didn't have a praying family," well, there was somebody that came in your life that shouldn't have been there, but God sent there tell you about Jesus and what Jesus done for you. And so tonight I want you to take your Bible real quick. We're just going to read a familiar passage of Scripture real quick, and I'm going to give you my story, if that's okay. Be a few minutes and we'll go to the house. Maybe to encourage somebody tonight. And Ephesians chapter number 2, and y'all know this text, I'm sure. And this is a prison epistle. Paul is writing this out of a prison cell. And I love how even the Apostle Paul, in the midst of a prison cell when things necessarily wasn't going right in his life, he still couldn't forget about the day that God saved him. God brought him up out of that horrible pit that he was in and set his feet on a solid rock. So notice what your Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." In other words, we're born into disobedience. We're born as the children of Satan. We are not born into this world saved, knowing God. We're born lost. In other words, that's what Paul's saying, is that we're all born far from God, underneath His wrath. Verse number 4, this is what it says. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." I like that verse number 4. I like this entire text and everything that it has, but I like that verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy." With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to give you my story. And I guess if there's any way I could title this, I want to title it "A Motivated Mission of Mercy." A motivated mission of mercy. God, when He started the mission to come save my soul and to call me into the ministry, He was motivated and full of mercy so that He could put us where we are today. Father, help us now, Lord, I pray. God, help me, Lord, to say everything, Lord, that I need to, God, to hold my tongue where I may need to. Father, touch us, Lord, now, God, I pray. Hide us behind the cross at Calvary. Encourage these dear people, Lord, I pray. God, encourage my heart, God, based on what I'm getting ready to say. Father, we thank you for everything you do. God, we're going to give honor tonight where honor's due. God, we give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, for it's in Christ's name we pray all these things. Lord, thank you, God, for all of these that have come out tonight. In Jesus' name we pray all of these things. Amen and amen. I guess the beginning of my story, we must go back to October the 30th, 1958. On October 30th, 1958, my grandpa, by the name of Jerry Taylor, was born into this world. On October the 30th, 1958, my grandpa was born into a family that was a church-going family, but wasn't necessarily a spiritual family, I guess you could say. It was a type of family where they went to church, were kind of religious, just to be honest with you. They'd go into church and they'd have backer in their mouth when they walked in the door. It was one of them things. That's the kind of family I grew up in. My dad told me one time that he woke up beside of his grandpa in church, which was my grandpa's daddy, and said that he was snoring. And said he woke up in the middle of him snoring and said he spit a little big old loogie of backer on the ground after he woke up in the church house. Didn't even realize what he did. My dad said I started laughing at him and said my grandpa looked at me, smacked me on the back of the head, and said, boy, you better quit laughing. Miss Mostella up there is going to think you're laughing at her singing. And he said, well, I ain't laughing at the singing. I'm laughing at you. So that's the kind of family that my grandpa grew up in. Just to be honest with you, they were Sunday morning folk. They went because everybody did back in the day. Everybody used to go to church. They went to a little church called Welcome Baptist Church in Catawba, North Carolina. My grandpa was not a very spiritual person. My grandpa was not somebody that really desired God nor loved God as a young man. Matter of fact, he was a young teenager like everybody else out in the world doing things the world does. Based on his testimony, whenever he met my grandmother. My grandmother, her family was loggers is what they were. They owned a sawmill and they logged and they come in and cut their own lumber and sold that. And my grandpa grew up around that and he met my grandmother and began to fall in love with her. She didn't like him. She didn't care about him. She thought that he was wild. He was wicked. And she didn't want nothing to do with him, but the Lord had other plans. In other words, God put that together, and they ended up getting married. Not long after they got married, my grandmother, she had made a profession whenever she was younger. She had been saved at a younger age, I think when she was about 13 is what she said. And she realized that my grandpa did not know God. She wasn't where she needed to be with God necessarily, but she understood that my grandpa did not know this God that she knew. So my grandmother started praying at a young, early age, started praying, just a young couple, started praying for my grandpa that the Lord would save him. My grandpa at the time was working at what they call the Conover Glove Mill. Y'all ever heard of the Conover Glove Mill back in the day? Big old glove mill down in Newton Conover. That's where my grandpa was working at the time. And while my grandmother was at home and she was praying and she was laboring there at her job, she would have to drop him off. She'd go to work, drop him off, pick him up from work, back and forth. And while my grandpa was at work, there was a man by the name of David Hager. David Hager he had been in prison, and God saved him while he was in prison. When he got out of prison, they hired him there at the glove mill, and David Hager worked right beside of my grandpa at that glove mill. My grandpa, by his own testimony, said that every day he'd come in and said, boy, David was right there waiting on him just to pound him with the gospel. He said he'd tell him how he's a sinner, how he needed Jesus, how the Lord would change his life, how the Lord could completely just rearrange everything that was going on in his life. And he said, I looked at him time and time again and said, David, shut up. I don't want to hear what you got to say. He said, I'm glad that religious stuff works for you, but it just don't work for me. I'm just not into that. Time and time again, David Hager did not let what my grandpa said to him affect who he was for Christ. But time and time again, I'm telling you, man, God was on a mission of mercy and he was motivated with what he was doing. David Hager was there every day, was pounding the gospel to my grandpa. One day, my grandpa, he started preaching to me, said, I started thinking about what would happen if I died. Don't know God, I'd burn in the lake of fire. He said, boy, that day, Holy Ghost conviction hit me for the first time ever in my life as an 18-year-old young man, is what he said. He said, I remember I left that night, went home, said my grandma, she drove a pink Mustang at the time. She picked him up, went home, said I couldn't sleep all night long, couldn't eat, couldn't do nothing. Came back to work the next day, said I ran up to David Hager and I said, David, tell me. He said, tell me, how do you know this Jesus and how can I know him like you do? And that day on March 18th, 1976, my grandpa knelt down in that restaurant over a glove meal and asked Jesus to come into his heart and save him. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, this was a miracle of mercy now. His family wasn't very spiritual, never really invested in him, but somebody cared enough about him, and God cared enough about him to send that man by his way, tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ so that he could be saved. And friend, my grandpa accepted Christ that day. You say, how do you know that it was real repentance and real salvation? Because my grandpa told me the first thing he wanted to do was go tell his wife that he had just made Jesus his Savior. She pulled up in that little old pink Mustang. He ran outside and he said, honey, you ain't gonna believe what happened. And she said, what happened? You win the lottery? She said, no. She said, I got born again today. I met the Lord Jesus and he changed my life. And friend, after that point, my grandpa was gung-ho for the Lord Jesus. They got rooted in church. My grandpa got saved March the 18th, 1976, and my dad was born on October the 16th, 1976. The Lord just worked all of that out together. Just a couple years later, my grandpa, they'd get rooted in at Glory Land Baptist Church in Lincolnton, North Carolina, where my grandpa would surrender to the call to preach and surrender in service to God as a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My grandpa's daddy was not a preacher. My grandpa's grandpa was not a preacher. My grandpa's great-grandpa was not a preacher, but a first-generation preacher my grandpa was when the Lord called him to preach. My grandpa, they pursued ministry. My grandpa, as soon as God called him to preach, boy, he was gung-ho for the Lord Jesus. Met a man by the name of Ed Ballou, the president of the Rock of Ages prison ministry. And my grandpa and my grandma and my dad, as a small family, they went in to full-time prison ministry to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ when my dad was just 2 years old. My dad, when he reached the age of 3 years old, he came down with this sickness. He couldn't walk. He couldn't hardly move. Something was very wrong. It was a tragic incident. A sickness that had come upon him. And I remember my grandparents, well, they just started serving God, just started living for the Lord. And here we are, my dad, something's going on and they're worried for his life. I mean, it almost seems fatal. Brother Brian, a three-year-old boy, they think they just don't know if he's going to live, don't know what's going on. They rush him to the hospital and rush him in there. Doctors don't know what to do. My dad's 3 years old, just a little boy. I mean, just barely even lived his life, and it seems as if they don't know what to do. Seems like he might die. They finally diagnosed him with spinal meningitis, 3 years old. A doctor looked at my grandpa and my grandmother, and he said, Mr. and Mrs. Taylor, said, I'm sorry, said, but if your boy lives, he'll never walk again. He'll be probably bedridden for the rest of his life. You have to take care of him. He'll never be able to get married, never be able to have children. He'll never be able to be a normal young man if he lives. And that day, my grandparents, they heard that fatal news of my dad. He might could lose his life. My dad, I mean, here they are trying to serve God, trying to live for God, and seems as if now he's come down this spinal meningitis, a bad case of it. My grandma said that her mother went out. My dad's grandma started buying him everything he could want, all these toys and stuff, because they really thought he was going to die. Brother Brian, they really didn't think he was going to make it. But my grandpa, he said, you know what? Said, the Lord ain't let me down yet. He said, I'm going to go talk to God about it before we talk to anybody else. And they went, and I remember my grandpa telling me, he said, we went in our closet there that day, me and your grandma, is what he said. So we knelt down and we said, oh God, this is our baby boy. Lord, you've given to him, and Lord, if you want to take him, you can. Oh, but God, we're not going to just accept defeat without talking to you first. I said, God, if it's going to be your will, Lord, would you touch his body? Would you save his body? Oh Lord, now, and my grandpa told me, he said, that day I prayed, Lord, God, if you don't touch his life, then Lord, he might not be able to live for, he won't be able to live for you. Lord, if you don't touch his life, there might be a preacher later on might not be able to preach the gospel because he won't live. He said, Lord, you need to touch this boy and touch him now. And listen, friend, 3 weeks later, my daddy, listen now, that same doctor's office, he walked in and they said, he'll never walk again. He'll never be a normal boy again. He'll probably die, probably won't even live. My daddy's a three-year-old boy. 3 weeks later, walked into that doctor's office. That doctor looked at him and he said, what in the world is going on? My grandpa looked at him and said that right there. is a miracle from God. That's that boy you said was going to die. That's that boy you said wasn't going to make it. That's that boy you said would never walk again. And here he is walking. They went to scan his body, try to figure out what was wrong. Couldn't find one dose of spinal meningitis in his body. And God had done a miracle. Why? Because somewhere down the line, it was a Jay Taylor that needed to be birthed into this world. I don't know why, but God knew so that he could be saved one day by the grace of God and stand and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. A motivated mission of mercy tonight. My daddy was supposed to die. He didn't die. God saved his life. My dad accepted Christ at 13 years old. Met my mama whenever he was in his 20s. They got married and had a family together. When I grew up, we grew up humble beginnings. Didn't come from much. Lived in a little single wide trailer down where we're living at, me and Esther's living at now. And I remember me and my brothers, we had enough to get by, but we never had much. But boy, my parents sure did love us. They took us to church and they loved on us and they were faithful. And my grandpa was faithful to love on us and teach us how to love Jesus, because the Lord had met him where he was and saved his soul. I remember I made a profession whenever I was 7 years old. I was in Vacation Bible School. I said one of them pray after me prayers, and they didn't mean nothing by it. The person that led me in the prayer, it was as innocent as could be. They just didn't really understand true salvation like we do. And I remember I made that profession, and boy, I lived on that profession for the next 8 years of my life thinking that I was saved, Brother Mason. Man, I remember I'd go sing in the choir. I was a lead singer in the youth choir. I'd sing in the choir. Me and my parents were over the youth ministry there at the church. I mean, we was there all the time. I was in school. I was playing baseball. I was riding dirt bikes. Man, just a normal boy. Thought that I was saved. Thought that everything was okay. But deep down in the inside of my heart, Brother Richie, I knew that I was missing something. I knew that there was more to this thing than what I was experiencing. I knew there was more to this life than what I was living. I knew there had to be more out there. Here I was, desolate and barren on the inside, thinking that I was okay. I remember where I was the first time God truly convicted my heart, told me that I was lost. It was 2018. I was a 14-year-old boy. June the 25th, a Monday night, at the Arise Youth Conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. I remember where I was. Brother Kenny Baldwin got up that night and started preaching. Boy, God started speaking in my heart, started preaching on a desire for more, a desire for more. Here he was, preacher. He was preaching about that desire, that longing in my heart that I was looking for. I was looking for it. I was longing for it. Here he was preaching about it. The Lord spoke to my heart, that invitation that day, and said, here it is. You're longing for more. It's time that you find me. I remember that day, boy, it scared me, man. I about ran out that place. I was so scared, didn't even know what was going on. But the sweet Holy Ghost of God sat down on top of me that night. I remember I sat there. I said, oh, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, what's everybody going to think about me? Lord, I sing in the choir. My mom and daddy's here. Lord, there ain't no way that I can do this. Lord, I don't know if I can do this. Lord, I just don't know if it can happen. I remember that night. Listen to me now. Boy, I feel conviction so strong, Brother Brian. But that night, boy, I locked down and I left lost that night. I didn't sleep a wink that night. Couldn't eat nothing the next day. Couldn't even have fun at Dollywood. You know something's wrong when you can't have fun at Dollywood as a little boy. A 14-year-old boy, I couldn't even have fun at Dollywood. I remember I walked in that next night, Tuesday night. Brother Ralph Sexton got up and he started preaching on that prodigal that come on home. Hey, man, friend, I was sitting there and I said, oh, God, Lord, I need you. Lord, I know I do, but Lord, I can't do it. What's everybody going to think about me? Lord, my grandpa, he thinks that I'm saved. My mom and daddy thinks that I'm saved. The church thinks that I'm saved. I'm a good boy. I don't do much wrong. Lord, surely this ain't you talking to me. I remember I locked down again that night. I left that place lost and couldn't even have fun all day Wednesday when we went water rafting. You know something's wrong when a boy can't have fun water rafting. But we came back that next night. Brother C.T. got up and he preached that night on what you going to plead at the great white throne judgment. I remember sitting there saying, oh God, oh Lord, I'm a good boy. I sing in the choir. That's what I'll plead. My mom and daddy's faithful to church. That's what I'll plead. My grandpa's a pastor. Surely that's going to get me in. Surely it's going to get me in when I tell him I said a little prayer when I was younger. I started sitting there thinking, sweet Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and said, boy, that ain't going to get you nowhere.
anywhere except from the charred walls of hell. It's more to this thing than just saying a prayer. It's more than just mom and daddy religion. It's more than just grandpa's religion. I remember that day the Lord come by and said, what you need is the blood. You need me in your life. It's time that you let me come rule and reign and be Lord of your life. I remember that night, friend. I didn't just get up, take a couple steps and walk down that aisle. Friend, I hopped up like Bugs Bunny. I ran down that altar. I met that man down there and he said, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, brother, I need to get born again. He said, you need to get born again. I said, I need to get born again. Yeah. That's what I always heard. I thought you were supposed to say that. Yeah. Get born again. I needed to get born again. He said, well, let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved. He opened up to Romans chapter number 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I looked at him. I said, with all due respect, sir, I know all this stuff. Let's just get to the good part. I got to get born again. And that night I knelt down. I said, Lord, oh, save me a sinner on my way to hell. And Jesus came in and changed my life forever. And now, therefore, if any man be in new Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't desire mess of this world no more. You know why? Because I got Jesus in my heart. I got Jesus in my heart. Boy, I got saved in the glory and the power, friend. When God met me where I was. I remember those people. You know what's crazy about that preacher? Is that the whole time that week, I was sitting there saying, Lord, I can't get saved. My mama and daddy's here. They're going to think something's wrong with me if I go down that altar. That Wednesday night, my mom and daddy had to leave and go to the airport that night. They got up and walked out while the Lord was speaking to my heart. Here was the Lord. Lord was putting everything together, friend. At that point, it didn't matter. I didn't care who was there. I was going to get born again whether they was there or not. But the Lord just let them leave that night. You know why? Because the Lord wanted me to do something afterwards. Here's what I did. Boy, I'm telling you, friend, this is how you know you truly get converted. I'm telling you, therefore, any man being Christ, he's a new creature. All things pass away, but all things have become new. And if you ain't ashamed, you'll be able to tell it. You'll tell witnesses. You'll tell people what God's done for you. Man, the whole time I was worried about my mom and daddy finding out that I was going to get saved because they thought that I had saved my whole life. Well, here I was, man, I truly got born again that night. I mean, I got saved in the glory of God. I remember the first thing that I wanted to do, I picked up my cell phone. They said, what you doing? I said, I'm going to go call my mama and my daddy, and I'm going to tell them God saved me tonight. Man, I called my mama and daddy on the phone. They said, what's wrong, Jay? I said, I trusted the Lord tonight. I said, well, haven't you? I said, what do you mean you trust? I said, I got saved tonight. I got born again tonight. Well, the devil told me all week long, well, they're going to tell you you're already saved. They're going to tell you that you've been saved before. No, they looked at me and they said, I said, oh, Jay, we've been praying that God would do that for you in your life, that God would save. And God that night answered their prayer, save my soul. I'm talking about a motivated mission of mercy in somebody's life. Boy, God did it in the glory for him. Amen. He can do it for you too, just like he did it for me. You keep on praying, friend. Them kids may be a little shy and backward right now, but when God gets hold of them, friend, it won't matter who's around. I remember June 27, 2018, 14-year-old boy, about 11:15 at night that night. Boy, he's in there all night long. Jesus saved my life. Amen. Changed me forever. Hallelujah. Brother Brian, I ain't had to get saved since. Praise God. Amen. That's right. A year later, that year, I got saved. My life was forever changed. The Lord was in. There was a difference made, Brother Max. There was a difference made. And although there was definitely a difference in my life, I could do the same things, be convicted about doing certain things. You know, although it wasn't bad, but you'd be convicted over doing certain things that you knew you shouldn't do because the Lord was in you saying, no, that ain't what you need to do. And I lived that next year and was still in public school playing baseball and sports and stuff like that. And wasn't necessarily in the will of God where God wanted me to be, but I wasn't necessarily on the other side of the railroad tracks either, Brother Richie. You know, being young and getting saved and a lot out there. And I remember about a year later, May of 2019, God started working in my heart, Brother Brian. I mean, like I ain't ever felt before. I mean, it was different. It was different than that salvation. There was something completely different going on. I remember we had Jubilee at the church at the time, and there was a preacher by the name of Ken Bowman. Anybody ever heard of Ken Bowman in here? Brother Ken Bowman from Bowden, Georgia. Boy, he's a preacher. If you ever hear him preach, I promise you won't forget him. And he preached that night, that first night he preached on this, Brother Max. He preached on, if God can use a mule, God can use you. Yeah. And, man, I remember sitting there, and that night, Brother Max, I was in my blue jeans and my T-shirt like I had wore, you know, to church at Revival Night, been at school, and that's what I wore that night. Boy, I went down to that altar, and I said, Lord, I know there's more to this thing just being saved. God, I know there's more to this thing. Lord, I'm willing, Lord, but I can't preach. Lord, I'll do anything but preach. That next night, Brother Richie, I came in khakis and a polo shirt this time. No more blue jeans, no more T-shirt. We're going to be serious for God. We're going to at least change the attire a little bit. And I come in, I had khakis on, my polo shirt. That preacher got up again, and he started preaching on God wanting to use my life again. I remember, man, he's preaching to me the whole time. I about didn't want to come no more because he's preaching right to me the whole time. I was so convicted. And I remember that night I went down that altar and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, I'll surrender whatever you want me to surrender to. But, Lord, I can't preach. Lord, I can't do that. I can't stand up in front of people. Lord, all I'll do is cry. I can't do it, Lord. I said, I'll get embarrassed. I can't do that, Lord. I said, but I'll sing. And I might even teach some Sunday school. But, Lord, I can't do this preaching thing. Next night I came in. Brother, this time I had black pants on and suit coat, dress shirt. Looked tacky as all get out. But you know how it is, man. I had a suit coat on, man. I thought I looked good, you know. I come in and I said, Lord, if I'm going to get serious about this thing, I'm going to look a little better than this. Now that preacher started preaching again. God started dealing with me. Man, I went down there and said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do besides preach. That next night I came in full suit on, two-piece, shirt and tie on, hair did. You knew something was going on in my life. Them people in there was wondering what in the world was wrong with Jay Taylor. I went down that altar. I said, Lord, man, I was bawling my eyes out. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do besides preach. I just can't preach. I went home that night. Brother Richie had school the next day. I stayed up till 2:30 in the morning, and all I was doing was writing sermons. Writing outlines. God got motivated. Amen. On a mission to do something in my life. I didn't have that desire in my heart. God put that desire in my heart. Remember, I went to school the next day, took my Bible, started reading in front of all my buddies. Y'all heard me tell that story about how my friends started laughing at me. All I was trying to do was serve God. All started there whenever I just tried to be faithful to the Lord. I said, Lord, I can't preach. That next week, I didn't run from it for a long time, Brother Max. I'd heard too many stories my grandpa told about running from the call of God. I knew that it led to a bitter end. That next week, it was Wednesday, May 2019, May the 15th, 2019. I knelt down right before I went to school. Neighbor was getting ready to pick me up, take me to school that morning. We used to ride with him to school. I knelt down at that ottoman right there. My grandpa had just flown over to the Philippines. I knelt down to that ottoman right there in my living room. I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, just say preach. I opened up my Bible and I read, he that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good work. I said, Lord, I'll preach. May the 15th, 2019, they're right there in my ottoman, my parents' house. I said, Lord, I'll surrender to preach the gospel of Christ. Amen. And from that day since, I ain't stopped. Amen. Preaching the gospel. At the time, I was in the motocross. I raced dirt bikes. Always was into sports my entire life. Man, I love racing dirt bikes. I had raced dirt bikes even before I saved, after I saved. Man, we loved it. My dad loved it probably more than I did, man. We loved racing motocross. And we were still at church. See, motocross, we could race on Saturdays, practice throughout the week, and still be at church. Man, we love racing motocross. I remember I was up in Minnesota, and I was at the regional qualifier for Loretta Lynn's up there at Millville, Minnesota, Spring Creek MX. And I was racing on Saturday to try to qualify for Sunday to try to qualify for Loretta's.
Brother Richie, I knew that I shouldn't have been there. There was something in my heart the whole day. I knew I shouldn't have been there. Because the whole time that I was racing that day, I was trying to qualify for Sunday. I'd have to miss church on that Sunday so I could qualify for Loretta's. And I knew the Lord didn't want me there, Brother Mason. That day I was racing, I was in a qualifying position for Sunday. I think I had a bad start off the gate. I think I was in number 8 or 9 coming around on lap number 3. We had a couple more laps left. That last lap, I had a couple guys come up behind me. And if those guys would have passed me, they'd have knocked me out of a spot for the next day. And so I couldn't let them do that. And I hit one jump, and I went to hit another jump, and I hit a different line than I normally had been hitting because those guys were behind me. I wanted to get the inside line. I hit that inside line, and the line was different. The other line that I hit had a kicker on it where it normally kicked my back tire up and would kind of set me down for the landing. Didn't have to tap my back brake, but this one didn't have that kicker. And when I stretched that thing out, I missed my back brake, and the thing was just way up in the air like that dirt bike was. And I hit the ground, and hands come off the handlebars and hit the next jump without even being in control of that motorcycle. I hit the ground on my shoulder at about 50 miles an hour. My shoulder was torn into pieces. Suffered a pretty bad concussion. As soon as I got up, I went down there. They drove me down the hill to where Dad was. He said, "Do we need to get an ambulance?" I said, "No, just drive me to the orthopedic." And went to orthopedic, and they couldn't get my arm in. Brother, and I'll be done, I promise, here in just a few minutes. Just a couple minutes and I'm done. They tried to get my arm back in socket, and they couldn't at the orthopedic. It was so bad. And they said, you have a pretty bad concussion. They said, "You need to go to the hospital anyway." Went to the hospital that day in St. Paul, Minnesota. Went in there, they sedated me, put me to sleep. Well, normally they would put you to sleep, but evidently I wasn't sleeping. While I was supposed to be asleep, while I was sedated and they were trying to put my arm back in socket, I woke up from that sedation with my arm back in socket, and that lady looked at me and she said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." At this point, I've been preaching about a month. I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." I said, "How did you know that?" She said, "Well, Jay," she said, "the whole time that you were sedated, normally our patients don't say nothing." She said, "The whole time you were sedated, you were preaching to us the gospel of Christ the entire time." She said, "Jay," she said, "me and my husband recently got hurt in church not too long ago." She said, "But some things that you said helped encouraged me that those people were the ones that hurt me, not Jesus." She said, "You think God will give me another chance if we go back?" I said, "Sure he will." You know what the Lord was saying that day when I wrecked my motorcycle? It's okay to have hobbies, but I didn't call you to race a motorcycle. I called you to preach the gospel. Since then, I've not tried to qualify for Loretta since. I don't plan on it because I done qualified, praise God, with Christ. Amen. Father, I thank you for saving me. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness to us. I pray, God, that you'd encourage somebody tonight, God, with this testimony. God, for how you've encouraged me, God, in just being able to speak it tonight. I pray, oh God, that you'd bless now this brotherhood meeting. Bless Brother Max as they put it on every month. God, in the days ahead, I pray you'd continue to grow this thing. God, take it where it's never been. God, I pray that you'd bless now each and every individual that's came. Give them safe traveling grace back home. Good week, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.